Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we've been making our way through this great season of the church year together, the celebration of our Lord's victory on the cross, his resurrection, and we're making our way toward the celebration of Pentecost, ultimately the birth, you could say. It's one way of describing the moment of the birth of the church when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles in the upper room, and they burst out of that upper room with a new power and a new capacity to fulfill the mission that Jesus called them to and shaped them for. And he said, he told them to wait. He said, you will be clothed with power from on high. Then you will be my witnesses. It's so interesting. We've been reflecting on it off and on over the last couple of weeks. Just the reality that these apostles, these men, and those who were with them, who for 3 years walked with Jesus and were taught and formed by him in every way, and they watched him and learned so much. But even that, the learning, the process of discipleship was part of what they needed, but they needed something more. That they couldn't just take information, good solid teaching, and begin to live it with their lives and to be able to accomplish what the Lord really sent them to do. And the only way they could accomplish it was for them to receive what Jesus had when he walked the face of the earth, when he fulfilled his mission. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to obtain sight for the blind, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor. He's the anointed one, the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the one who comes to bring new life to us. And the life of the kingdom is life in Christ. That's the life of the kingdom. What is the church? The church is a kingdom outpost. The church isn't the whole kingdom. The church is a dimension of the reality of the kingdom. Those who are baptized into Christ are living the kingdom life now. And what makes that possible? What makes it possible is the sacraments of the church. What makes it possible is the Holy Spirit that's communicated to us. The transformation that happens within every single person who repents, believes, and comes into the waters of baptism and comes into the church. And now we're beginning to live a whole new way of life and live consciously understanding I'm in the kingdom. This is why, like you hear St. Francis and other saints will say, I mean, echoing Jesus essentially, that at a certain point in their life, they left the world. They came into a fuller understanding of the reality of what happened at their baptism when they were infants or whenever it happened in their lives, when they began to take it seriously and to be converted deeply and to embrace it. They then, as Jesus said, be in the world, but don't be of the world. Don't think like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't bend the knee to the world. Live in the world, but be a light in the world, as Jesus was a light in the world. One of the things to see there is Jesus is saying, and he's communicating, is that the world can live and exist apart from any awareness of God at all. And we can have their eyes on what glitters every day, what tantalizes every day, what inspires and encourages or whatever drives, captures our attention every day. Jesus said, you need to be a light in the world because the light that's in the world is darkness. People can't see the condition of their life before God. People can't see their origin, who made them, the condition of their spiritual life and their need for salvation. Because the devil will just keep the lights on 24/7. He'll keep everybody active, distracted, thrilled, excited, whatever. Whatever he needs to do, he'll do it to keep them from seeing the light of the glory of God that shines on the face of Jesus Christ, as St. Paul put it so beautifully, and shining hopefully on your face and the face of everyone who's baptized into Christ. What the devil wants to do is he wants to put that light out. He wants like a dimmer. Think about your life. Is the dimmer turned all the way up in your life? That is, are you fully living with the grace you've been given? Have you accepted it? In truth, to say, I'm a new creation. Christ dwells in me. My life is of infinite value. The new creation has started in me. The glory of God is upon me. this is the greatest treasure I have. And I'm moving toward my final homeland, my eternal life and total glory and happiness in Jesus and with the Father for all eternity and with the loved ones who died in Christ, who went before me. It's the inexpressible gift that we've been given, the astounding reality of who we have become by God's grace. It's possible, friends, to just not be awake to it and to be totally awake to the rhythms and life patterns and culture of the world. What God does when times like the present happen, what do I mean? You know, we know that Christendom, that period of history of 1,000 years or whatever it was, a time of the church's ascendancy, the time of tremendous spreading of the faith and glorious fruits coming from the gospel itself as its core and institutions formed and universities and churches and the message spread throughout the world and people's lives were changed. And that period of history is over. And many, many people in the very countries which were the crowning glory of Christendom are now radically, radically either directly opposed to God or totally disinterested. Huge, huge numbers. It's a different situation. Much of that is the result, I think, of many people living cultural Christianity, cultural Catholicism, went through the rituals, but were not living it at home. It wasn't, Jesus wasn't the center of the conversation. There was not an expectation of faith that lives would be transformed and they'd walk in the power that the apostles and others had. I mean, that a new power to live differently, to become saints, to live in the joy of the Lord, to understand the fruits of the Spirit. And so it was just kind of cultural habit. But you have to say yes with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength to the graces the Lord gives for the working of the Spirit to unfold, because you're engaging the ultimate, you're engaging God. And we can't walk with indifference, we can't be lukewarm, we can't be half in and half out. It's profoundly offensive to God. And the way we come into the grace that we witness in the lives of the saints, was it Catherine yesterday we celebrated, and the church presents before us almost on a weekly basis, where we're celebrating the saints in some way, because they went all in and their lives were mind-bogglingly important. I mean, they were just stunningly beautiful and amazing, not because of their own natural resources or they're just kind of quirky and set in that direction. No, because they believed. First of all, they knew they were sinners who needed to be saved. They understood. They weren't born saints. They were born fallen men and women, you know, children just like you and I. It's like you and me. But they came to believe, and boy, did they believe. And they hungered, and they thirsted, and they pursued God, and they repented, and they did all the things that Jesus has provided for us, and they loved the Word of God, they loved the liturgy, they loved to pray, they loved adoration, they loved all kinds of things the Lord has given us to give us strength to grow, for the Holy Spirit to grow within us. And they were so animated by the Spirit. Signs and wonders accompanied their teaching, their preaching. And they were just like the apostles. That life, what we've been talking about over the last few days. And what we want to just lay hold of in this season, and not to let the season go by just in a set of celebrations that don't really renew me and awaken me once again. And I mentioned yesterday just some quotes from recent popes who, with great urgency, were analyzing this collapse of Christendom and calling us, that saying what we need is the Spirit. We need a new Pentecost. We need God's grace animating the lives of Christian people and giving them the boldness and the fire that and zeal that was burning in the apostles. Here's another quote from Paul VI from 1972. He said, more than once, we've asked ourselves, what's the greatest needs of the church of our time? What's the primary and ultimate need of our beloved and holy church? We must say it with holy fear, because, as you know, this concerns the mystery of the church, her life. The need is the Spirit. The church needs her eternal Pentecost. She needs a fire in her heart. She needs words on her lips. She needs a glance that is prophetic. He knows that's the normal Christian life. That's what we're, as we are making our way through the Acts of the Apostles, that's exactly what we're seeing. Pentecost is the animating reality. What happened on Pentecost is not just an event that launched the church, but it began something. It's this river of life, a river of life that flows from the heart of the Father and the Son, through the Son and in the Holy Spirit. It comes to us. And a river of life that's making its way, winding its way through history, through every nation, every tongue, it's going out. The most important thing happening on the planet is the working of the Holy Spirit to reveal the lordship and majesty of Jesus and to bring salvation to the world. Everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to leave this world. No one on this planet can solve it. Jesus has come to bring life. It's a river of life called the Holy Spirit. And it comes to us primarily, but not exclusively, but primarily through the sacrament, especially baptism. You got to be baptized. That's the place. That's the beginning. And then through the rest of the sacraments, through the living word of God, through the charisms, spiritual gifts that we've been given. To each has been given a manifestation of the Spirit by the, you know, for the common good, St. Paul tells us. Here's a little longer reading from St. John Paul II. He said, I pray with you. This is actually, I think, on the day of a celebration of Pentecost in the early 2000s. My dear friends, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, may the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, fill you with the love of Christ, to whom you entrust your future. It is my hope that the spirituality of Pentecost may spread through the church as a renewed impetus for prayer, of sanctity, of communion, and of announcement, meaning proclamation. It is my heartfelt wish that this initiative may conduct many people to rediscover the gifts of the Spirit that have their source in the new Pentecost. I also say to you, open yourselves meekly to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Accept with gratitude and obedience the gifts that the Spirit does not cease to give. Do not forget that each charism is given for the common good. In other words, for the benefit of the entire church. There's many quotes I could use just by the recent magisterium and bishops around the country and others. Everyone who understands the nature of the church knows, where does renewal come from? What's being renewed? What's being renewed is Pentecost. That's what needs to be renewed. Not just a document here or a book there. No, we're talking about the renewal, the renewing of the person. And how does the person get renewed? In baptism, in confirmation, and in saying yes to those great graces in our lives and being on our knees and hungering and thirsting and say, Lord, baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit. Lord, I hunger for more of you. Come, Holy Spirit, I give you permission. Whatever gifts you want to give me, and then discern those gifts. Get help at discerning those gifts. Find out what gifts the Lord's given you and put them into practice. Why? So you can build up the body. So the body can be strengthened and healthy and animated by the presence of the living Jesus in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why the church takes us, friends, every year through the entire liturgical experience, the journey, our story, the story of salvation. And it's not something we just remember, like remember a story in a book. The church is bringing us into a fresh lived experience of that reality. So let's embrace it wholeheartedly. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.